Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 29, Text 82. Tatraikargamanadhiro Govinda charanambujam Vimukta sango nubajan Bhaktya tat samyatamagataha tat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Having undergone austerities and penances at Kapilashrama, King Prachinavarhi attained full liberation from all material designation. He constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and attained a spiritual position qualitatively equal to that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a special significance in the words Tat Samyatam Agat. The king attained the position of possessing the same status or the same form as that of the Lord. This definitely proves that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a person. In his impersonal future, he is a race of his transcendental body. When a living entity attains spiritual perfection, he also attains the same type of body, known as Sachidananda Vigraha. The spiritual body never mixes with the material elements. Although in conditional life, the living entity is surrounded by material elements, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence and ego, he remains always aloof from them. In other words, the living entity can be liberated from the material condition at any moment, proved that he wishes to do so. The material environment is called Maya. According to Krishna, Daiviyeshu Gunamayi Mumamaya Dhratyaya Mameveye Prabhatyante Maya Metam Tarantite. The divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. As soon as the living entity engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he immediately attains freedom from all material conditions. Mam cho vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate saguran samati yaitan brahma bhoyaya kalpate. One engages in full devotional service who does not fall down in any circumstance at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus come to the level of Brahman. In the material state, the living entity is on the jiva bhuta platform, but when he renders devotional service to the Lord, he is elevated to the Brahma-Buddha platform. On the Brahma-Buddha platform, the living entity is liberated from material bondage and he engages in the service of the Lord. In this verse, the word dhira is sometimes read as veera. Actually, there is not very much difference. The word dhira means sober and veera means hero. One who is struggling against Maya is a hero. And one who is sober enough to understand his position is a dhira. Without becoming sober or heroic, one cannot attain spiritual salvation. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vyasadeva was meditating, it is mentioned, Bhakti yogena manase samyak pranigite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam chat tatapashrayam. So when Vyasadeva was meditating, when he meditated, he saw Krishna personally and mayam chatat apashrayam. So the Acharya Prabhupada mentioned the purport, purusham purnam, which means when Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of all the Vedic literatures, and the compiler of the essence of the Vedic literatures, the Veda Anta Sutra. So, Anta means the end, the conclusion. Veda means Vedic literatures. So, Vedanta Sutra, which is the conclusion of all Vedic literatures, is been written by Srila Vyasadeva. And such as Srila Vyasadeva, when he was meditating, he didn't see Brahman effulgence, neither he saw something else. Prabhupada mentioned, he saw Purusham Purnam Mayam Charitapashrayam. He saw Purusham Purnam, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada mentions here, there is a special significance in this word, Tat Samyatam Agataha. The king attained the position of possessing the same status or the same form as that of the Lord. This definitely proves that Supreme Personality Godhead is always a person. Brahma Sapte Mukhyarthe Kohe Bhagavan Shadaishwarya Paripurna Anurdva Saman. The Brahma Shabde, the Brahman or the Supreme Absolute Truth, it explained in three features: Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. But among these three aspects, Brahma Shabde Mukhyarthe Kohe Bhagavan, that important or the highest of all understanding is that the Bhagavan feature. And what is the nature of this Bhagavan feature? Shadaishwarya Paripurna Anurdha Saman. That it is filled with all the six opulences and Paripurna Anurdha Saman. Nothing there is higher than this nor equal to this. So in this purport, Prabhupada mentions that Supreme Person of Krishna is always a person. And then, here also, Prabhupada gives a process how one can attain the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So today, in a short time, we will discuss how the process of bhakti elevates a person to attain the supreme position of understanding the personality of Godhead. Once in a college program, there was a boy, student, was asking that in ISKCON people all the time criticize about the body. We had devotee like Sudama Prabhu, they make lot of code words. So we told them body means birth, old age, disease and hemorrhage, all the more. So the boy became very, what is this all the time you are telling about the body, body? There is nothing positive. Why you are telling all the time about the body? Don't do this, don't do that. You know, the body is carrying us from one place to another place. The body is helping us to study books. So all the time criticizing the body. So are you inimical towards body? Your movement is body conscious or Krishna conscious? So then he was a bit agitated. So then there is a nice quotation Prabhupada quotes in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. In the verse of Dharma Projito Kaidavotra Paramo Nirmasaranam Satam. So in this verse, in the purport of the third paragraph, Srila Prabhupada mentioned a very interesting statement. In the Vedas, the above mentioned four activities are prescribed in a regulative way so that there will not be any undue competition for sense gratification. Many times in the outside world, people accuse ISKCON people all the time, we keep telling four regulative principle, don't do this for the body, don't do that for the body, don't give it to the tongue, don't give that to the eyes. So all the time depriving and the body from its natural attraction. So why you are all the time holding yourself, putting so much of rules and regulation? We should be free. The human life is for enjoyment. So here Prabhupada mentioned that the Vedas, the above mentioned four activities are prescribed in a regulative way so that there will not be undue competition for sense gratification. So it is mentioned, it is stated that when a person follows certain rules and regulation, it may appear that he is restraining his body and the senses from enjoying those things. But actually speaking, if there is no restriction or if there is no regulation, then that will lead to undue competition. Isn't it? We give the example, just like in the traffic signal, there is red light, green light, and there is yellow light. And when red light comes, you have to stop the vehicle. or at least supposed to be. So if there is, these rules and regulations are there, then the vehicles are stopping and there is traffic is controlled. So, for a person, we don't want any rules and regulation. We want to be free. But then what happened? There is no rules and regulation, you want to be free? Then free to do accidents. Then free to be entangled in traffic jam. So, though we are telling all the time the body has to be restrained, it has to be, you know, done, this particular activity should be done in this way. So the rules and regulation appears to be binding a person, but actually Prabhupada recommends or mentions that four regulative principles of freedom. How is it possible? Regulative principle and the freedom simultaneously. But here, when a person follows a regulative principle, when a person restrains himself, he is actually attaining freedom. Freedom from being entangled. Even practically speaking, if there is no rules and restriction, then there will be undue competition. Bhagavata mentioned that the regulative ways are mentioned so that there will not be any undue competition for sense gratification. Everyone wants to enjoy senses, and we have limited resources and unlimited desires. And at the same time, if there is no rules and regulation, then what happens? There will be undue competition. That's why the Vedic literatures divided the society into varnashram ashramas and given them the proper occupational duties and given them the different levels of sense gratification. So, the people accuse that why you are having so much rules and regulation. Then another, Prabhupada mentions about the chaos in the Western society of so-called independence and freedom. Prabhupada mentioned that in the Western countries, they want equal right. They want equanimity. There is no rules and regulation. But Prabhupada mentioned, you see, you want equal rules, no rules and regulation. But the Western world, the boy and girl, they come together and they meet. They want to have equal rights. The woman thinks that we want to be equal to men, and man thinks that we want equal to the other people. But then Prabhupada writes, but the result is that the man leaves, but the woman has to bear a child. If there is no rules and regulation, then what happens? I want to be independent. Why I should follow another person? Then when the woman bears a child, it becomes a burden for the government to maintain. Otherwise, the child is aborted in the womb. So the so-called independence and liberation, rules and regulations, actually more and more entangles the other person. More and more entangles the people in general, and there become no peace in the society. So here, Prabhupada mentions that the rules and regulations are actually meant to free the people from sufferings. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada mentioned here, although in the conditioned life, the living entity is surrounded by material elements, he remains aloof, he always remains aloof from them. In other words, the living entity can be liberated from the material condition at any moment, provided that he wishes to do so. The only thing the living entity has in the material world is a choice. This is where Jaranyavasaru mentions that at every moment, all the living entities, they have only one choice. There is nothing in the material world left. The choice is that whether I want to surrender to the Lord by becoming dependent on Him, or I want to be independent. So as soon as the living entity decides that I don't want to surrender to Krishna, I want to be independent, he is automatically entrapped in material nature. So, there is nothing in this world that a person can think apart from these two things. One, either is to every moment we have a choice. Next moment, even devotees or anyone, we have a choice whether we want to surrender to Krishna or we want to something else. So, all these moments of choice that counts whether how is the person is progressing in devotional service. So the either a person can surrender to Lord, the choice is given at any moment. So now the people in this world, the two senses, gross and subtle senses, Prabhupada mentions that the liberation means that one has to dissolve both gross and subtle body. The dissolving gross body takes place every birth, but dissolution of subtle body, it takes a lot of time and effort. Isn't it? When you take a different body, the gross body dies, but the subtle body always comes with us. So it is stated that to dissolve the subtle body, it takes a lot of time. And many times it is very easy to follow the four regulative principles, but mentally it is very, very difficult to avoid them. Avoid bad thoughts or avoid breaking the principles. Why? Because the subtle body is with us since time immemorial. This gross body which is being given to the living entity is given at the time of the birth. The mother gives the body and the father gives the seed. So the body which we got is the product of this lifetime. But the subtle body which the living entity possesses is there with from time immemorial. So that's why it is very difficult to free the mind from falling down in these traps. So in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asks the question, Krishna, I am failing in controlling my mind. I am feeling very disturbed. I am not able to control my mind. What Krishna advises? Krishna advises, that is true Arjuna, but start from your senses. Start controlling your senses, then the mind will be automatically engaged. Just like we have the senses, the hands and the legs. When you tell the hand that you don't take particular object, it just obeys. But you tell the mind that you don't think about that, it goes to that place. So it is very difficult to control the mind. But in the beginning, that's why Krishna recommends, you control your senses and then the mind will automatically in due course of time follow the senses. But we see in the material world, people don't, they lose their senses. And what is speak of the mind? First of all, there is no education on the senses, how it should be restrained and focused towards the Lord. When the senses are not focused towards the Lord, there is no question of mind getting focused. That's why in the Vedic understanding, the beginning of knowledge starts with restraining senses from sense gratification. And then a person is qualified to receive knowledge. Sri Rupa Goswami, he is giving the knowledge of the highest of the spiritual perfection. He speaks about Radhakund, Shyamakund. He speaks about living in Brajadham. But before giving this knowledge and this understanding, he doesn't give directly that. But he starts with Vacho Vegam, Manasaka Krodho Vegam, Jihva Vegam. So he starts his teachings with the controlling of the senses, or restraining the senses from enjoying unduly. So the person to start devotional service or to gain knowledge of devotional service, the first qualification is that one has to restrain his senses from sense gratification. But in the modern world, we see the other way. If you analyze the fear of devotees from the fear of non-devotees, mostly the non-devotees, they are fearful of, we say many times, Boge Rogo Bhayam Kule Chuti Bhayam. They are fearful of losing their body. They are fearful of losing their beauty. They are fearful of losing their reputation. So this is their fear. What does this mean? Attachment to the gross body. But then what is the fear of the devotees? The fear of the devotees, they are not so much fearful of losing their body. They are not fearful of losing their prestige or reputation. But they are fearful. What is fear? What will happen if I am not able to follow the principles? What will happen if I am not able to, if I offend the Vaishnavas? So the fear of devotees and fear of non-devotees are totally different. As soon as we take the devotional service, the so-called fear becomes no fear at all. And then we also have fear, but that fear is related with what will happen to my devotional service. So similarly, the depending on the fear of the living entities, their lifestyle is also different. For example, the karmis in the material world, they are fearful of losing the power to enjoy the senses. So they always look for certain things which aggravates their enjoyment spirit. Isn't it? The devotees which they want to avoid, the non-devotees want to increase it. For example, the college students, they are always looking for opportunity. How can I enjoy through my eyes? I want to see some beautiful object. They are looking for magazines where I can see such pictures which is showing the beauty of the sense gratification. They want to watch a film which aggravates their consciousness to enjoy sex desire. That is devotees wants to avoid. Devotees are praying that let me be free from this allurement. But non-devotees at the same time, they are looking for this opportunity. Totally different, totally opposite. In fact, the devotees are praying, even the great acharyas are praying, when I will be free from this attraction of attraction towards opposite sex. But the non-devotees, even at the age of 70 or 80, they are looking for different pills or different things. How can I aggravate my desire to enjoy? Totally opposite. So that's why the beginning of spiritual knowledge or the beginning of the spiritual culture is that the devotee is trained to restrain the senses, and then a person can enter into spiritual understanding. The Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter, Krishna speaks, Amanitvam Madam Vitvam. First starts with, first a person should become humble. Adambitam, he should be free from pride. First he speaks about how a person behavior, how a person should able to control his senses. A person have to come to the platform of Moda goodness. Let us in the Vedic literatures, the Vedic knowledges are not given to those who are Shudras or those who cannot control their senses. So the first platform of understanding is that before a person takes to spiritual life or before a person starts his spiritual practice, it is recommended that a person has to come to the mode of goodness or has to know, have the ability of controlling the senses. Then the devotional service becomes very, very easy. Even all the Vaishnava Sampradayas who are following the Pancharatrik principle, before a person seriously takes a vow to enter into spiritual life, the first principle is that he is taking a vow or taking a pledge that I will restrain my senses from sense gratification. Isn't it? When the devotees take initiation or approaching the spiritual master, before even the name is given or before even the spiritual mantra is given, he is taking a vow. Yes, I will not engage myself in enjoying sense gratification. Tapaha mantraha namaha pundraha tata yagasya panchama. The Pancharatra, it is said, the initiation has fivefold process. But the first process is that tapaha. When the devotees comes for initiation before the spiritual master and they take the microphone, first they have to pronounce that I will free myself from enjoying illicit sex, gambling, meat-eating, intoxication. So first step is the tapaha, that I will not engage myself in enjoying the senses. In some other sampradayas, in the traditional way, they put this shankh chakra symbols in the fire and they put it on the body, tapaha. That means that the enjoyment of the body is finished and this is stamped as Lord Vishnu's property. It's like if you put Indian stamp, the letter belongs to on government service. Similarly, the body stamp, this belongs to the Lord, which means the senses which this body have cannot be enjoyed on its own gratification, but for the service of the Lord. But Siddhanta Saraswati says that Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. So we don't have to do this tapa samskara personally by putting the fire of Lord symbols in the body, but taking the vow, or we are putting tilak of this Shankha Chakra. Sometime devotees put the lotus feet of the Lord. By stamping the body, no more belongs to its senses for its own enjoyment, but belongs to the Lord. Tapaha, four regulative principle. And then, only when a person taken a vow or come to the platform of rested in the senses, is given the next process, mantraha. Is given a mantra. And then a dasya nama. Is given, your name is Das, Krishna Das. And then the mantra is given. And then the pundra, the tilak, when Prabhupada was initiating this Prabhakara Acharya before he went to America, Lilamad mentioned that Prabhupada initiated, gave the name, gave the beads, and then he puts tilak on the disciples, Prabhakara Acharya's forehead. Generally, spiritual master puts the tilak as a formality. And then, Yagaha, he is given opportunity to worship the deities or qualified to worship the deities. So, this fivefold initiation which all the Vaishnava Sampradayas follows, the first thing is starting with Tapaha or restraining the senses. So, the material world, people think that the body should be freed for enjoying the senses, but the opposite is that the spiritual principle is that the body has to be restrained so that we will be freed from the entanglement. The apparent freedom in the material world entangles people more and more, but the apparent restriction in the spiritual principles frees a person from the bodily attachment. So, after hearing that how exactly by following the rules and regulations of the scriptures from restraining the senses, a person is freed, then the boy becomes very satisfied. Otherwise, all the time we are hearing about restraining. Why we have to be restrained? After all, you want to be free and be happy. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Krishna narrates. The second chapter is considered as the contents of the Gita summarized. In the second chapter, Krishna gives Arjuna, or he smashes different excuses Arjuna gives in the previous chapter. Arjuna tells that, I don't want to fight in the battlefield because I am having compassion on my relatives like Kauravas. I don't want to fight because what will happen to my enjoyment, the relatives dies. I don't want to fight because sinful activities come upon me. It's just like the materialistic say that we don't want to do surrender to Krishna because of this reason. We want to enjoy. We want to take care of the nation. Why we should do devotional service? In this way, people accuse, give excuses not to do devotional service. But Krishna, using Arjuna, smashes all these arguments. Krishna says that first of all, you should understand that you are not his body, you are spirit soul. So at least for this reason that you are not his body, so you stand up and fight. So if you see the second chapter from the viewpoint of the devotees, all the different excuses are smashed from different levels. First of all, we are not his body, so we should engage in devotional service. When Krishna says that Arjuna, you should stand up and fight, that means you should engage in devotional service. So first reason given, that Gyan platform, that you are not his body, you are spirit soul, and all his relatives are temporary bodies, but they are spirit soul, so you can kill them if you fight. So similarly, many times when it is disturbed by material attachment, the body is demanding, Krishna is telling, understand that you are not this body and engage in devotional service. But immediately in the next section, Krishna says, what will happen if there is no soul? You may think there is no soul, there is no body, there is no God. But still, Krishna says, Arjuna, you should fight because the Kauravas and the enemies, if you think there is no soul, the body is nothing but a combination of chemicals. You are just killing the chemicals. So no problem, still you should follow my instruction. So, again, the same thing used in our way. The people may think that we don't have intelligence to understand scripture. We don't have intelligence to understand body, soul and all. So why we should engage in devotional service? One time, one person came to Srila Prabhupada and told Prabhupada, Swamiji, they are telling us to follow the regulative principle, chant Hare Krishna. But what will happen if after all, at the end of the time we come to know that there is no Krishna, there is no soul existing? Then what will happen? Then Prabhupada told, don't worry, still we had a nice time. We didn't suffer, we had a nice prasad, we had a nice dancing. But then what will happen in case after all the time we come to know that there is Krishna exist? If Krishna is there, automatically Yamaraj also there. Hell also there. Similarly, whether we understand or not, with analytical knowledge, but still to have a peaceful life in the society, one has to take to devotional service. Again, immediately Krishna, the second next section, he explains about karmakanda principles. He tells Arjuna that jitova prapsasi svargam, hatova prapsasi svargam, jitova bhokshasi mahim. That if you lose this battlefield, you will get heaven. If you die in the battle, you will get heaven. If you win the battle, you will get the whole kingdom, unrival kingdom. So now, Krishna is like in a chess game, there is no corner left. All the sides were covered. So Arjuna, Krishna is not leaving Arjuna for any excuses. Even if you want to be, want to enjoy this world, still you should take to devotional service. He's telling, you see, if you fight, follow my instruction, or you join Hare Krishna movement, you will get, because of following my instruction, by winning this battle, you will get the whole kingdom for enjoyment. Or by dying in this battle, you will get the heavenly planets. So either way, by following me, following Krishna, you are getting this benefit. So at least for this enjoyment, you take to devotional service. Similarly, Krishna says, even if a person wants to enjoy in this world, they should know proper enjoyment. Prabhupada mentioned, people want to enjoy sense gratification, but they don't know how to enjoy sense gratification. The people in this world, they want to enjoy, but actually they are suffering a lot. The name of enjoyment, so much are suffering. But the devotees, they are a real, Prabhupada mentioned, they are the real sense enjoyers. They know how to enjoy their senses. So Prabhupada mentions here that Krishna mentions that even if you want to enjoy the kingdom, you should fight. That means you should follow my instruction. Or even if you want to go to heaven, still you should fight. So following Krishna's instruction, ones get even a material benefit. Similarly, again Krishna says, if you want to free from being criticized by Bhishma and Duryodhan and all these your enemies, that they will tell you are running away from the battlefield. So even if you want to be free from criticism, at least for that sake you should fight. You should follow a devotional process of hearing me. So whenever Krishna tells Arjuna you should fight, that means Krishna is instructing Arjuna that you should do devotional service, or you should follow my instruction of fighting. What is meant for the contemporary period? That one should ready to fight with the senses and the material world outside, the Maya, and take to devotional service. So when a person takes a devotional service, as Krishna is giving this carrot, we are also getting so many material benefit. As Krishna is telling that, at least for kingdom you should fight. Similarly, when you take a devotional service, at least we are getting nice friendship, nice prasad we are getting. Maybe the congregation will think that one Sunday we are free to cook in the home. At least for this reason, just like Krishna is telling Arjuna, at least for heaven you fight. At least for this reason, let us come to Sunday feast, free from cooking. Or they are getting nice prasad, chapati with hot chapati with ghee, or stuffed burger. So at least for this reason, I take to devotional service. So at least for this reason, take to devotional service. Or if you become a devotee in the office, people say that this person is really a gentleman. So there is so many benefits. Just like Krishna is telling Arjuna, at least for this reason you fight. Similarly, for even to enjoy material sense gratification, a person has to take to devotional service. And then, immediately after dangling this carrot in front of Arjuna, Krishna goes to next section by telling, but even though you should fight for this reason, for heaven or for getting the kingdom, but real thing is that you should perform this act of fighting as a duty. Don't attach the results. Krishna immediately shifting his arguments in the third section, in the second chapter. First he told that you are not this body, you are soul, you fight. That means by understanding that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, so take to devotion service. But I don't know scripture, I don't know body, soul, all these things. Okay, even if you want to enjoy this world, Krishna is not leaving any excuse for anyone. So even if you want to enjoy this world, but still you take a devotion service, you will get heaven. Or you will get hot chapatis or burger or pizza. Come to temple, take a devotion service. Or what will happen? But finally, these things are not ultimate goal or devotion service. But you should have unmotivated devotion service. In the third section, immediately Krishna tells Arjuna that karmanyevadhikaraste mafalashukatachanaha. That don't be attached to the result, but still you should fight as act of devotion. So, slowly Krishna elevating Arjuna in all the levels. So similarly, a devotional service is not meant for few people or those who are not able to, those who are not in the platform of Paramahamsas. It is meant for all the levels. Wherever a person is fit, he can perform devotional service. But in the material world, we say people, they have all the excuses. So Krishna, knowing the excuse of the karmis, the materialistic, he gives all the levels. Wherever level you are fit in, you can perform devotional service. And then, in the later purport, Prabhupada mentioned that the difference between a hero or a dhira. In this verse, the word dhira is sometimes read as veera. Actually, there is not very much difference. The word dhira means sober and veera means hero. One who is struggling against maya is a hero. Again, people think hero means that the college student should have a lot of girlfriends. Then only he is considered to be very, very, you know, important student or very influential student. Or the people think that we should have a lot of things to enjoy, big house and big car. So person who loses his senses is considered to be a hero in the material world. But here Prabhupada mentioned, a hero means one who is struggling against maya or one who restrains his senses. We see in the episode of the Vedic literatures, the Vedic histories, a person is glorified not for losing his senses, rather for restraining his senses. In the story of Ramayana, it is said that Mother Sita, she could have killed Ravana in 1 second. She tells Hanuman that I could have killed Ravana just by my chastity power. But she didn't do that. Why? Because he wanted Ram to come to Lanka and conquer Ravana. So Sita tells that I didn't do this for a few reasons. One is that I want to set an example for the conditioned soul, that how a person has to be dhira or tolerant. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, till the end of the body, prak sharira vimokshana, till the end of the body wants to struggle hard, and then you automatically go back to Godhead. So Mother Sita and the Acharya's comments that she was captivated in the Lanka. And Lanka is considered to be the body, the grass body. And Mother Sita is considered to be a living entity captivated in the grass body. And then there are subtle bodies in the grass body. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, they are considered to be the conceit or the kama krodha, the subtle anarthas within the body. So, if a person has to be freed from this grass body of Lanka or the anarthas of kama krodha of this Ravana and Kumbhakarna, one thing is that Mother Sita taught by example, she was tolerant and never gave up, never say yes to Ravana and the associates. She tolerated. And then when Hanuman came, Hanuman is representation of spiritual master. And Hanumanji tells that Lord Ram is here and he will come very soon. And then when Lord Ram comes, by the perseverance and the faith of Mother Sita and Lord Ram, that brought Lord Ram to Lanka. And then Lord Ram killed the anarthas of Ravana Kumbhakarna. And then Mother Sita is freed from the grass and subtle body of Lanka. In other sense, that a person has to be tolerant and perseverance, and he is considered to be a real hero. A hero means one who is waiting for Lord to come and rescue him. For that he is ready to do anything and everything. But in the material world, people, they can't wait. We won't have immediate sense gratification, immediate enjoyment. Again, in the episode of Bharat, he also teaches about tolerance or dhira. When Shatrughna, when he came from his country and saw that Lord Ram has been sent to forest, he became very upset. So he tells that to Bharat that I want to punish Mother Kaikeyi. She is the cause. She only sent Lord Ram to forest. So the Acharya's quotes the verse by Bharat. They tell, when Shatrughna spoke like that, Bharata tells to Shatrughna that actually my mother is not the cause. Even Mantara is not the cause. He says, Namantaraya nachamatarasya narajo dosho narajan nacharagavasya matpapa mevatra nimittamasid vanapravese ragunandanasya. So he tells that Mantara is not the cause. Because Mantara, you know, she is a maid servant. She always wants to get some money. So it is natural a servant behave like that. So Mantara is not the cause of Ram to go to forest. And then Shatrughna tells, Mantara may not be the cause, but why our mother listen to this Mantara? She is a servant. Our mother is the cause. Then Bharata tells, even my mother is not the cause. Nachama tarasya. And then Shatrughna tells, okay, mother is not the cause. And maybe mother may tell like that, but why our king listened to our mother Kaikeyi? Then immediately Bharat tells that dosho narajan. Even our king is not of the fault, because the king is not fulfilling his promise, how the citizens follow? So even Dasharatha is not the cause of Lord Ram's goes to forest. And then Shatrughna tells, okay, a father may tell, but why Ram followed that? He should have not gone to forest. He should have told that, no, you are wrong, I am going to be here. Then Bharata tells, Nachara Agavasya. Even it's not fault of Lord Ram, because Lord Ram is setting example of ideal son. So then Shatrughna tells, then where is the problem? I want to really do something. Why Lord Ram into forest? And then Bharata says, मत पापमेवात्र निमित्तमासीत् वन प्रवेशे रघुनंदनस्य दैट माय ओन सिंस इज द कॉज व्हाई लॉर्ड राम इन टू फॉरेस्ट. सो हियर धीरा और हीरो ही इज नॉट बोस्टिंग दैट आई एम ग्रेट और आई एम पावरफुल बट हियर हीरो द एग्जाम्पल ऑफ हीरो ही पुट्स द ब्लेम ऑन हिज ओन सेल्फ. A hero means a tolerant or putting the blame on himself. And then Bharat tells that because of my sins, the Lord Ram went to forest. So I will go myself and bring him. Another episode of Parashara Bhatta, there is interesting verse. He used to go to the temple of Ranganath every day and used to pray to the Lord by telling all his false qualities, all his faults before the Lord. So he goes to the Lord and he speaks in different verses and telling that I am fallen, I don't have any good qualities. Then there was an envious person, he wants to criticize him. So he goes behind him and tells, yes, that is true. So once Parashara Bhatta, he was going to the darshan of the Lord. And before taking darshan, he goes to all the acharyas, deities, and he tells his own false, own bad qualities as forgiveness. So he goes and tells first, Amaryadayah Kshudrudah, I don't know how to follow the etiquette. I am Shudrud, I am fallen. So when he tells one quality, this envious person behind him, he comes and tells Satyam, that is true. So he tells Amaryadayah Satyam, Shudrudah, Satyam, I don't know how to behave. Chalamati, my mind is always bewildered. He comes behind until Satyam. And then Asuya Pravasyobhyaha, that I am always having very very contaminated thoughts in my mind. Asuya. And he comes behind and tells loudly Satyam. In this way, Kridagnaha, that I forget people's what are good deeds they done to me. So in this way he tells lot of bad qualities. And finally approaches the Lord. And this person, whenever he chants one false quality, he goes behind and shouts Satyam. And then, as soon as he approaches the Lord, telling his last bad quality, for the shock of this person, Parashara Bhatta turns and pays full obeisances to this fellow, who is criticizing him. And then this person was shocked, then why you are doing like this to me? And then, Parashara Bhatta didn't reply to this person. And immediately turns friend and goes to the deity of Ranganath and tells him that my dear Lord, till now so many days I have come and told you that I have all these false qualities, I have all these bad qualities within me, but you never considered and never given me shelter. But now you see there is a witness for me. He is accepting that I have all these false qualities, I have bad qualities. So at least for this reason you should accept me and take you as your shelter. Take me as your shelter. So then, the acharyas explain, this is the quality of a hero or a dhira, that he is able to say no or he is able to do anything to get the mercy of the Lord. So Prabhupada mentioned again here, one is struggling against Maya is a hero and one is sober enough to understand his position is a dhira. So Jaini also mentioned, in one lecture, that what is the reason the living entities in the material world? Three words he told. That is, I like it. And then he mentioned, I like it means I don't want to control my senses. I don't want to be dhira. I want to be loose. And he mentioned there is only three words which can deliver a person from this material world. What are the three words? He told, Hare, Krishna and Rama. So people in the material world, they want to have some adventure, something adventurous. They go on local train, hit by someone, somebody shouts at them. Then they feel something happened in life. You know, we should work very hard. You people are always parasites sitting in the temple. So people in the material world want some adventure. They want to work hard or they want to get some difficulties and get out of that. Even in cricket matches, when India is defeated again and again, then become more excitement for the team wins. So people want some adventure, some ups and downs. But here, the real adventure is given. The real struggle. People get adventurous in struggling. One devotee mentioned, that if you want to have a real adventure, you come to ISKCON temple in the morning and he will give you one instrument, just like people have instrument for adventures, they drive car or drive motorbike and they feel adventurous. I may get accident but still escape. They feel that happiness. So we tell that you come to temple in the morning and you will give an instrument. We give these beads and you just start chanting Hare Krishna. And as soon as you start chanting Hare Krishna, the mind goes to so many places. And you try to bring the mind back and you do this exercise again and again. That is a real adventure. That struggle a person undergoes, people want to have some struggle or some fight or some experience. But this is a real adventure. That when a person chants these three names, Hare Krishna and Rama, try to hear that. And then when he tries to hear that, the mind goes and bring it back. And this adventure this struggle is the positive struggle or the real struggle a living entity should do, rather than struggling hard in the material world. And he is considered the hero. And then when you are able to hear Hare Krishna Rama, then if you want you can give up chanting. But by the time when you are able to hear constantly, you cannot give up. So to get out of this material world, as it mentioned the purport, that a person has to be a hero, one who struggles hard to control his senses and waits for Supreme Lord mercy to come by following the devotional principles. Sorry for coming late. We'll stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Granthraj Bhagavatam.